Good morning to you. It's nice to be back home. Arlene and I were away on vacation with our kids. People ask how it was. I got a picture for you, just one, but we had a good time. We went on a cruise with our kids and their husbands and Jack, okay? And so the day we got on the ship, I handed out mandatory uniforms for everybody to wear, you know? I told the girls, you got to wear these today, our shirts, I'm cruising with Jack. And Jack says, I'm Jack. So all week long on the ship, people are like, hey, there's Jack. You know, it was like he was a celebrity. So we had a good time, though. It's amazing. Little guy's a year old, and he's been to Pennsylvania twice and now to Aruba. So he's a world traveler, little child. But you know what? It's good to come back home. It's always nice to get away and to recharge your batteries and have a good time with family and everything. But then it's always nice to come back home. So it was a good week away, but it's nice to be back. I want to thank Don and also Pat for filling in while I was gone. Talking about our faith, and we've been looking at this passage from Romans where it says the righteous shall live by faith. Faith and. In other words, our faith should have an impact on every area of life. There should be no area of life where we put a do not disturb sign up for God. And Don talked about our faith and our temperament over dealing with anger. Last week, Pat talked to you about our faith and our neighbor, and how that should have an impact there. And we're going to continue with this study today. We've been looking at this from the perspective of Hebrews 11, where it talks about our faith is sure and certain. Our faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That every area of life should be impacted by the faith that we have in God. I want to talk to you today about our faith and health, our faith and our body, you know, this gift that God has given to us. A couple years ago, I had a really, really fascinating thing happen to me. I'm a real early riser, and I get up early in the morning, and used to love to take my cup of coffee out onto the porch, and you know, just enjoy it there really early in the morning. And one morning, I was sitting out there with my cup of coffee, and you know, I just had on a pair of shorts, and I hadn't even put a shirt on. I'd just gone out onto the porch, you know, and I'm sitting out there on the front porch, and all of a sudden I notice a lady from the church here. She was out for a walk. She lived somewhere in the neighborhood, and she was walking by my house, and I said good morning, and she said good morning, and before I could say anything, she came over to the house, came over to our home, and she was, you know, just striking up a conversation with me, and before she realized, she was up on our porch. And then she realized that I didn't have a shirt on. And I don't know who was more uncomfortable, her or me. You know, it was like, but anyway, it was kind of a brief encounter. And then she went on, and then I was talking to somebody later, and they said that, you know, that she could check this off of her bucket list now. She had seen the preacher without a shirt. Okay. I don't know if that's on your bucket list or not. I hope not. All right, because it's kind of a scary thought. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we live in an age now where, man, everybody just like, you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you have on or if you have anything on or very little on. It's just like everybody is just so comfortable in as little dress as possible. And you know what? As a Christian, I think that this is something that we need to think about, something that we need to talk about. This idea of our bodies and of this wonderful gift that God has given us with our bodies. Have you ever heard this? You know, an apple a day, right? An apple a day. What? Keep. Think about this for a moment. We live in a time where we are living longer than ever. Okay. We're living longer than ever, but we're not living healthier than ever. You know, with the longevity that has come because of advancements in medicine or whatever, that's not translated into necessarily, you know, living healthier than ever. Matter of fact, I think this is probably true. You know, we're living longer than ever because of our intelligence, But we're not living healthier than ever because of our foolishness. Now, let me just be real open and honest with you here this morning. I almost rearranged these messages so that Don or Pat would deal with this subject. You know, because, I mean, look at Don and then look at me. He's much more apt to come on, laugh here, folks. This is a, you know. Or maybe skinny Pat would have been a good one to deal with this one, you know? I mean, I eat too much and exercise too little. All right? And if you're here today and, you know, I'm one of these guys that I hate to go to the doctor because I know, you know, they're going to do new blood work and he's going to tell you about something that's too high or something that's too low, or, you know, he's going to tell you need to increase this or this medication or your blood pressure or your triglycerides or whatever. You know, I understand that. Listen, I'm right there with you. You know, somebody said to you, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you really need to get in shape. And he said to the doctor, I'm in shape. Said, round's a shape. Right? Are you with me? Is that you? Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. But you know what? We need to think about this, and we need to understand that our body, that what God has given us in this body is a beautiful gift that we need to understand and take very seriously. And we're going to look at a passage here in a minute that's going to teach us that how to honor God with the choices that we make in our body. Billy Graham said, and I love this quote, he said, "When wealth is lost, nothing's lost. When health is lost, something is lost. And when character is lost, all is lost." You know, you think about that quote in light of the way that our world looks at wealth and health, and yes, even character. Because we need to understand that what God has given us in this body is a beautiful gift, and we need to make sure that we use that gift to honor him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the New Living Translation says, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Listen, I think what that passage teaches us is that there is a correlation, that there is a connection between our physical body and the faith that we have in God. And that even in this area of life, that there should not be, you know, that there should not be a do not disturb sign up. And we should never say to God, "God, you are invited in every area of my life, but not in this area." You know, that this is off limits to God. Because this verse tells us that we should not just look at the world and look at our body based on what the world teaches us or tells us about our body, but that we need to understand that there is a faith component even in this, and that our fear should be not of anything in the world that can destroy our body but can't touch our soul, but to make sure that we have a reverent fear, a reverent understanding, and an appreciation for who God is and what God has given us in this wonderful thing called this body and the health that hopefully all of us enjoy. Now, let me take you to the passage of Scripture that I think teaches us more than anything else or anywhere else in the Bible about what our view should be as far as this body and the health that we have from God. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Now, let me give you the context of this passage of Scripture. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll see that the context is that he's talking about sexual sins. He's talking about imperfections in the way that people treat their bodies pertaining to sexual sins. He even says that all other sins that you commit outside your body. It's something that you do. But a sexual sin is something that you commit inside your body. He almost says that it's worse because of that. Okay? And then at the end of that teaching, He says this: "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So let's allow God to teach us this morning about what our views should be toward this body and ultimately toward us making sure that we allow our bodies to be as healthy as possible in this life. Now, let me unpack this verse for you a little bit. First thing he says there, he says, "Do you not know?" You know, it's almost like that the Apostle Paul is saying, "By the way, you know this, you understand this, but I'm going to tell you anyway." In other words, there's an obvious kind of teaching here where Paul seems to be saying this is an obvious view that every believer should have. Do you not know? It's a hypothetical question. It's a rhetorical question in the sense that he's saying, surely you understand this. But here's the thing, folks. I don't think it is so obvious. Matter of fact, if we allow our lives and our understanding to simply drift with the culture in which we live, and if we allow things to just kind of erode from our life or infiltrate our understanding by the things that the world would show us or teach us, then it's not obvious. Matter of fact, I think that if you walk around in our world today, it's pretty obvious how it's not obvious to very many people. Right? I mean, if you just think about our view of these bodies and what God has given to us. So let me just start there. Is it obvious to you? I mean, do you wake up every day and realize that what God has given you is a beautiful gift called life? You know, that even though we may not be perfect, you know, it's because of God's Spirit living inside of us that we can find true meaning of life. Isn't it amazing? I've noticed this. You know, people with tremendous limitations in their body or even in their health, yet God can use them to be a tremendous blessing in life. Just the other night, I was searching through the channels and I came upon a video recording of Nick Vulcik. Have you ever seen this guy? He has no arms and no legs. But God has given him a ministry, and it is amazing. He just got married a couple years ago, and it showed him diving off a diving board into a swimming pool. No arms or no legs. And he just tells how God has just blessed him and used him. Isn't that amazing? You know, the thing about that is that can only happen when you look at yourself and when you look at your life and even you look at your body and the limitations of your body, not just the health that you have, but maybe the sickness that you are encountering, but yet you realize that God has blessed you tremendously. It's not obvious, but it should be. And then he says this. He said, "Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" Now, just think about it for a moment. What is the temple? The temple was the most holy place to God's people in the world. You know, even now, today in Jerusalem, there's all kinds of conflicts over the Temple Mount and the place where the temple was built, and you know who, and all this kind of thing. Why is it that way? It's that way because the temple was symbolic of the presence of God. That this is where God said, "Build this place, and I will meet you there." And then he says to us that we should view our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. It makes me think of Jesus' words when Jesus said that I'm going back to the Father and I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to leave the Comforter with you. And he said the Holy Spirit will come and he will live inside of you. In other words, God's presence is not somewhere that we go to. It's something that we realize is inside each of us. if we know Him as our Lord and our Savior. And because God's presence is inside of us, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that those of us that have had a born-again experience, that the promise is that His Spirit will reside inside of us and will help us and guide us in life. And as Christians, we need to honor this body, because it is the place where God now resides. He's inside of each of our hearts. And that alone should make us question what we do and how we live and what we put these bodies through. But it doesn't stop there. He says, whom you have received from God. You know, when you think about the creation experience that God breathed into His beings, created in His image, formed Adam from the dust of the ground, formed Eve from the side of Adam, made in His image, God walked and talked with them. That this life that we have, that this body that we enjoy, is a gift that God has given to us. You see, folks, that is a worldview. That is a paradigm of how you look at everything that you are. And when you think about that this should be obvious, blessing from God, that this is a temple that houses the Spirit of God, that this is a gift that God has given to me, to all of us. That should help you to shape how you view who you are for God. Think about it. This is God's gift to you. What do you do with a gift? Well, you enjoy it. You enjoy it. You appreciate it. You treasure it. So think about this. This is God's gift to you, this body, this vitality that He's put inside each of us. So what do we do with it when we know that and understand that it's God's gift to us? Well, we enjoy it. You know what? When you enjoy life, God enjoys you enjoying life. You know, there's something wonderful. There's something holy about when you get out in nature and you do all these kinds of things that God has blessed you with the enjoyment of, and as you enjoy those things, God enjoys you enjoying them. That's part of this beautiful gift. So enjoy it, appreciate it, and treasure it. Now look at this next phrase, because it is so key to our theology of this life that God has given us. He says, "You are not your own." There's not another phrase in this entire section of Scripture, or probably anywhere else in the Bible, that is more contrary to the way that people live today. Think about it. You are not your own. Do you hear that anywhere in culture today? Matter of fact, no. You hear just the opposite. Don't let anybody tell you what to do with your body. It's your body. You know, politicians out there, they use this as a battle cry for rallying support around them. Don't let anybody tell you, no, that's contrary to what God is saying here. God says that if you are going to have the theology that He wants you to have about who you are, about the body that you have, the health that you enjoy, it's going to be based on your understanding that you are not your own, that you are a steward, and you are a steward even of the flesh that you inhabit in this body. Why? Because we were bought with a price. Now you think about this for a moment. If you are not your own, if I am not my own, then how does that help me in making particular decisions or choosing particular things in life? See, I make particular decisions, I do particular things in life, not based just on what I want or what my understanding is about life, but based on honoring Him. And that's the last phrase here. He says, because therefore honor God with your bodies. In other words, everything that we do in life, that we should think about that. Think about how how that would change your life or my life if every time we got up, we ask ourselves, you know, what can I do today that will honor God with this body? You know, every time that we are confronted with choices about what we eat, if we ask ourselves, you know, what would honor God? I mean, I don't know. I guess we can convince ourselves. You know what? God loves donuts. You know, I was praying the other day, and God just spoke to my heart, and He said, I just love donuts. Right? I mean, think about how life would be different if you ask yourself that every day. If the choices that I'm making right now, will it honor God? I mean, think about that. I had a friend of mine who had a lot. He loved tattoos, and he's got a lot of really cool tattoos of Christian symbols and things. You know, he actually told me, you know, when he goes and he gets a tattoo, he wants tattoos that honor God. Now, in some of your minds, you might think that's impossible, but he's actually thought this through. He wants to honor God with his tattoo. Have I ever showed you my tattoo? No, just kidding. I mean, just think about how life would be different, though, if we ask ourselves that. If what I'm doing, the choices I'm making, the places I'm going, the things I'm participating in, the things I'm putting in my body, the things I'm doing with my body, the places I take my body, the things that I refuse my body, if it was all based on does it bring honor and glory to God, how much difference it would make. Now, let me just stop right there and tell you, folks, not very many people do that. I mean, when you look around the world, there's not very many people asking, does this honor God? Matter of fact, they're asking just the opposite. I found an article just this past week. It was actually written by a Catholic priest, a father. And in this article by Father Fred is what he called himself. But he talked about how we need to have these basic guidelines that we use to help us make proper choices in what we do with our body and how we view even the health of our bodies. And let me give you these couple of things, then I added one to it. But he said this. He said, the first thing that we need to make sure that we understand is that we do not share in the modern American body obsession of our culture. I mean, think about it. We are bombarded with things in our culture, with advertising in our culture, trying to appeal to our desire to look a certain way or to have a certain physique. You know, we just came from this wonderful cruise, week-long cruise with our kids, and it's amazing how when you go to the pool on a cruise ship, you never see any of the people from the brochure. I'm just saying, you know, and you know, I look around, it's like I'll take my shirt off, you know, but yet our world and our culture, you know, tells us we just have this obsession with, and that's why I said, you know, earlier that we're living longer, but we're not living healthier. You know, we're living longer because of our intelligence, but we're not living healthier because of our foolishness. And the foolishness is simply this, that's what matters. Because what this text teaches us is that what supersedes, what's more important than what you look like is understanding who lives in you. And it's not that you have the perfect body, but that you understand that you have the perfect spirit, the Spirit of God living inside of you. And then you should use that as motivation for to be as good as you can be and to take care of yourself as well as you can and to appreciate the strength and vitality that you have. And even when that strength and vitality is gone, you understand that God has given you a tremendous blessing in life. And as a Christian, we just simply need to say no to our culture and to this body obsession kind of thing in life. Because listen, folks, none of us can ever maintain the kind of body image that the culture shows us and tells us that we should want. So therefore, we have to base our understanding where we're coming from a totally different perspective. Now, the second thing that he says in this, he says, and this is so key, he says, make sure that you don't buy into the worship of sex. You know, that we live in a culture, and when you're talking about body image and everything, it's all about sexual attraction. You see, it's got to go deeper. It's got to be more meaningful than that. But if you think about it, if you watch TV, if you look at the media, what they're telling us by the images they show us and the body language they use is that the most important thing is to be sexually attractive, having that sexy body that will draw the object of your desire into your... You know, I got an email the other day. Maybe you got it. And it's one of these, you know, spam emails. And it simply said, the five things that you can say that will make the opposite sex attracted to you. And here were the five things. No, actually, I didn't even read it. Aren't you proud of me that I didn't read it? I mean, I'd be proud of you if you told me that and you didn't read it. Hey, here's the thing, folks. We fall into that. We fall into that. And does it really bring honor and glory to God? Now listen, it's not to say that Christians can't recognize the beauty of a well-proportioned human being. I mean, anybody that's ever read the Song of Solomon, I think would agree with me that the body is a beautiful thing that should be celebrated as a gift from God. But in our age, and due to our media influence, there's been this subtle shift in the emphasis in the way that the culture would invite us to look at each other. And we should look at each other as a vessel that holds and attracts the Spirit of God more than anything else in life. See, that's the third thing here that I added, because, and it goes back to the scripture, and that's just simply everything that we should do should be to the glory of God the Father. You see, folks, as Americans, sometimes we foster this obsession with this cultural look at this wonderful gift, the body that God has given to us. But we need to make sure that we have the proper attitude and how God would want us to look at this. You know what? Because I think this is true. You may disagree with this, but I think this is true. This is just my perspective. A lot of times the world looks at us and they criticize us for criticizing them. They criticize those of us of faith for criticizing their lack of faith, for pointing out their sins and their shortcomings. And a lot of times I think they have a point. I've actually had people say this to me. So, you know what? I had a Christian, they've said this, you know, I had a Christian that was pointing out, you know, my sins in life when obviously they were having a problem with gluttony. Pastor, isn't gluttony a sin? Have you ever heard this? Sometimes I think that the world doesn't take us serious because we point a serious finger at their sin when in reality we at the same time ignore things in our own life that are so ungodly. And there's probably not a greater example of this than this idea of our bodies and of our habits and our indulgences and the things that we do in life. In other words, you ever remember the scripture when Jesus was talking and he was mentioning how it's easy for people to point out the speck in their brother's eye and ignore a log in their own eye. I kind of think that's the way it is with the world who accuse Christians of being judgmental, of being legalistic, but yet struggle with other great sins in life. The gluttony, or gossip, or you just make the list. But see, here's my encouragement to all of us here today. Let's make sure that every decision we make, even the decisions based on our bodies and our health and our outlook on this wonderful gift that God has given us, let's base all of that on our desire to bring glory and honor to God, our Father. So when you think about this whole idea of the body image in our society today, I think we need to be concerned about overindulgence, about a lack of conditioning. But you know what, folks? Throughout the history of God's people, there's always been this temptation to undervalue this beautiful thing that God has given us. And I just want to hold it up, not only as valuable, but as worthy of using it to bring glory and honor to God. You know, there was a young man named John who was one of the early church leaders many, many, many centuries ago. And at one particular time in his life, John went into a cave and he wanted to practice spiritual discipline. So much so that he wanted to deprive his body of things that he thought would lead him to sin. But what happened was something very different. He ended up suffering with a long, long life of problems in his physical body as a result of that time away. And in later years, and I would say wiser years, he strongly discouraged people from practicing those kinds of extremes in self-denial. And what he instead advocated was a life of moderation that led to a life of discipline that brought honor and glory to God. And I think that's what we should try to do. I think the true Christian approach to this is based on that wise principle of moderation. Paul actually said it. He said, "Let your moderation be known to all men." In other words, to take proper care of ourselves, to understand the ramifications of health, and to groom ourselves well, and to dress nicely, and to not be sinful in the way that we look at the body or appreciate the human form of others, but reflect in how we deal with this body, with the beauty of the designer, and to honor the one that created us in his image. Because think about this, sin only enters the picture when appreciation turns to obsession. When the greater value of the eternal is forgotten and we neglect or abuse ourselves. Let's guard against all these things and seek to glorify God even in our bodies each and every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask that you would just give us a real good understanding of what this means and what it should mean for us. And God, I pray that every day that we get up, the choices we make, even the choices that we make concerning our physical body and our health, will, Lord, be based on our desire to glorify you. And Father, as we sing this awesome song about walking with you, walking by faith with you, that God, that we would allow our relationship and our faith in you to permeate every area of our life, even, Lord, this area of how we view this beautiful gift, this temple. And Father, may we honor you in every choice that we make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.